Hello, everyone, and welcome to December's edition of the Pitching In NPL show, pre-recorded on Wednesday, the 10th of January, 2024. It's a different year and everything.
It's very confusing,
and,
that.
Yeah, no. And round the table here, back at the Heating Hops, a happy 2024 to James Hayes. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
A big happy new year to Swamper. Welcome back, Swamps.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Welcome. Great to be back. Thank you.
And Berkey's here, sitting in Simo's chair. So if there's any heavy lifting to be done today for this show, it's going to be Berkey. Berkey, welcome.
Well, I do have a hat on, but it's not a snapback in Simo / House of Pain style. So
Simo is unavailable tonight. He's doing journalism. Proper
something
journalism.
Like that,
he's interviewing people. I'm pretty sure that interview will be available in the non-league paper as well. So back here at the Heating Hops, big thank you to Damien for hosting us once again at Heating Hops.
So get yourself down. You're very welcome. Get a 10% discount if you mention this show and speak to Damien.
Is that true?
Well, let's find out if anyone does, and then Damien will be absolutely...
That deal that Swampy's mentioned there is only available during the recording of this show. So
even better.
Unfortunately, you've missed out. But anyway, we're also going to be discussing the league today. But as well as that, we're obviously going to be discussing the FA Trophy fourth round. We'll be catching up with the managers at Radcliffe and Nantwich Town on this month's show. Shall we start with Radcliffe?
Remember all the funny stuff I said last month?
No, I've got this covered. I was actually thinking about our conversations, Berkey, about wheels coming off buses and everything. James, hello. Has Andy Burnham been in touch about the possibility of a single-decker 98 bus with no roof on doing a tour of Radcliffe Town Centre in April?
It's not quite there yet, but we've had
that's
months.
That's niche, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you'd appreciate that.
Yeah. I loved it.
Buses and everything, yeah. But yes, it is going well.
Is indeed. A little bit of a bumpy ride before Christmas with a heavy defeat at Hyde United, it's fair to say.
Weren't flattering either.
No, that's it. To the point where Radcliffe were getting pushed seven defenders back at one point in the game as well. But picking up from there, Radcliffe just getting back on form a little bit. Good win on Tuesday night away at Lancaster, which is somewhere people don't go and win in the winter as well at the moment.
They don't tend to win at all. It was only Lancaster's second home defeat of the season now.
Yeah.
And to go there, I think that defeat, well, not just that defeat, but the subpar performances, maybe not subpar, it's a bit unfair, that, especially the Whitby result where you can't really put the Whitby defeat in there because they played them off the park, but somehow they didn't score. But they've won the last three games, three really good wins in there, and especially when you've got the FA Trophy game round the corner against Barnet, third in the National League. You know, it's going to be the biggest test of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of optimism going into that game at the same time. One of the defeats for Ireland, defeats Whitby in the playoff position, Hyde in the playoff positions as well. Everyone's picked up points. But they're still coming out of the month with 9/6 points now, and 3 games in hand at the moment.
Just to ask, because obviously we know about Mask United, and we've already said it, but sending our best wishes to everyone at the club. They have safeguarded the club for the future, but have made that difficult decision to resign from the league. We're recording this show on Wednesday. The table hasn't been updated, but we understand when this show goes out, it will have been updated.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a little bit of prep for this show. Yeah. At the minute, Radcliffe have a 9-point lead with a game in hand. Once the Mass results have been expunged, where are we?
So in terms of the top five, pretty much nothing changes. Radcliffe are going to lose 3 points, along with Macclesfield, Hyde and Worksop. Rylands haven't played them in the season so far, so there's nothing to lose. But in terms of...
Yeah, but that means they're the winners then, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But at the same time, though, because Rylands didn't play them, all the sides get a game in hand, in theory, at the same time too. So Radcliffe, it's now six points at the top, but with an extra game in hand, which was one of them was against Lancaster.
Well, I know this is very early to say it, Teagot, but what would you rather have? Points on the board?
Obviously, out of the sides, looking at the results from everywhere else, guys, they were one of the big benefactors of it at the time. They'd have gone from 7th to 3rd, but results over the weekend, they're now out of the playoff positions. Ashton United benefit a little bit because of defeat earlier on in season 2. In the top half of the table, there isn't much that changes.
The main movement was going to be guys, like you said, because they got beat over the festive period by Mass, but nothing's changed really after all that chat.
Just everyone gets a game in hand except for Ireland. That's
it's a sad situation. In football now, there should be a way of doing it differently, but we haven't come up with that idea yet. There's got to be something that actually can benefit and help. If you can't play that football club, it's at the detriment to other football clubs, and then you lose the revenue from a match day, and if it's as soon as it is now, you've got things in place ready, you're losing all your revenue, It's hard. I've wrapped my brain on what you could do and how it could evolve and how this would not happen again. But I mean, just there's got to be something that can be done at some stage within football to stop clubs. You can do it. It can be done because the Northern Premier League as a league can't afford to bail out those clubs that are losing out financially because of missed games. So that's why there has to be something put in place with the amount of money that's in football to say, okay, we recognise if these things happen, there's a safeguarding and there has to be money put in place to help other clubs when it's no fault of their own being put in a financial situation because everyone's on a tightrope of finances. So there's something that has to be put in place over the next few years to safeguard every football club that then lose out because of the situation now to make sure that other clubs aren't suffering. There must be a way around it somehow because it's happened more than once or twice.
Yeah, back in the day when Hyde ended up getting promoted because of 1-0 wins for games that didn't happen.
But like we said, best wishes to everyone at Mask. But back to the top end of the league table, as we've discussed, it doesn't really affect that title race or promotion race at the moment, only the games in hand, like you say. But we do head towards the FA Trophy this weekend for Radcliffe. We're going to be hearing from Jono in a second.
A club like Barnet, they're going to come up there, they're going to look at the pitch. The support gets right close to the pitch. It's basically they're on top of the players. And Radcliffe are a very good football team. Yeah. I mean, you forget about that. So Barnet are going to be in for a real, real shock. And I truly believe that Radcliffe will win that game. And I think they'll probably win it quite comfortably. I don't know. I honestly do.
I think if Barnet have done the homework, we know how Radcliffe played. They're always going to play on the front foot. When they played against Hyde, that was pretty much their undoing because when Hyde brought on Antoine McCauley, they brought Jamie Morgan back into effectively being a fullback again. And it unsettled the balance of the side and Hyde just went from strength to strength.
Well, as you
say,
they're superb. But I mean, at the same time, they've learned from the mistakes at Hyde and a couple of other games and they've come strong again. And I honestly believe that they're a team where there's so much quality in that team and there's also massive experience in that team as well. They're not, you know, wet behind the ears. They're not a club that, like, oh, we've never played at this level before. A lot of the players have played at higher levels than this than the Barnet players.
Yeah.
You know, so they know what to expect. And no one would fancy going there, you know. And I honestly think they're going to be, it'll be a good win, and no one will be looking forward to playing them at home.
But they are up against a team who are full time professionals.
Who invited you? There was no but then. Swampy finished it perfectly.
Sorry,
it's the MPL show.
Sorry.
Well, let's hear the pre match thoughts now from Radcliffe. And on Thursday, I caught up with one of the joint managers. Here's Jono.
Well, Jono, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back. Before we talk about the Barnet game this weekend in the FA Trophy, just to take your mind back to 2023 and the back end of that year with that FA Trophy third round match against Redditch United. Quite a storming performance, a 4-0 victory. I mean, how was your afternoon?
Do you know what? It was a near-perfect performance, that. To be fair to Redditch, they had a man sent off just before half-time, but at that point, we were already 2-0 up then, so it wasn't like it was 0-0 and it was a struggle. The man got a man sent off and then we took control. We was dominant throughout the game. And to be fair, when you look at the form, what they've done over the last couple of months, 6 weeks, 2 months prior to that game, it really picked up. And I think they were top three or four when they came to us. Now, listen, you've also got to caveat it with the fact that we should have played them on a Saturday. They got postponed due to weather. They had to come with us on a Tuesday night. And we knew that. What it's like travelling from Birmingham up to Manchester on a Tuesday night and how tough it is with traffic and stuff and lads finishing work. So we knew if we started fast on the front foot, we could put them under pressure. If we could get a goal or two, which is exactly what we did, we knew it would be very tough for them to get back into the game. So it was a really good performance from the team.
And of course, you already knew that you had Barnet in the next round. And in between that, I mean, we spoke a couple of times this season already, haven't we, Jono, just about juggling the FA Trophy with the league. Coming out of the Redditch game, you've got Warrington Rylands, you've got Hyde United. It's tough, isn't it? And obviously two defeats there, but you've come back strongly in the preceding matches as we head into 2024.
Yeah, listen, we're never going to win every single game of football, ever. No team does that. So when you're playing, when you've got Rylands and Hyde coming up, our sole focus was on the Redditch game. When we play Rylands, our sole focus was on the Rylands game and so on and so forth. So We put in our best efforts in both of them games against Rylands and Hyde off the back of the Redditch game. But unfortunately for us, you know, we were beaten by the better sides on the day, and that happens. We've got no problem with that. But everything that you do in football is about the reaction. Mm. Whether you win, it's about reacting and not being complacent. If you lose, it's about reacting and not dwelling on defeat. From our point of view, coming off them two games, we've racked up three wins on the spin, and it's been an absolutely superb recovery from the lads. Because as you say, you know, especially the Christmas period where it's relentless Saturday, Tuesday. We've just gone Saturday, Tuesday ourselves this week. We played tomorrow. We've got Tuesday. We've got Mac on Saturday. It is relentless. That's the nature. But I know this has been done to death since the dawn of football. If you ask lads what they'd rather do, they'd rather play on a Saturday and a Tuesday rather than train on a Tuesday. The lads absolutely love it. But lads, the amount of games does take its toll. We've got a few injuries just like everybody else has, just like Barnett has, just like Riles did when we played them and Hyde did. And it's about managing that. We've got a good group around us. You know, when we recruit the lads, one of the main things that we always look for is that they can play more than one position so that you're not stuck if you do pick injuries up. We're quite fortunate that we've got a squad that can cover for each other. And as I said, you know, despite having, being down to the bare bones at times, we've got through it.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you could look at the Bradford Park Avenue game and the Workerty game and certainly the Lancaster game on the Tuesday just gone as big banana skins. And if the mindset's wrong, you can slip up in those games. So you and Bernard must be really delighted with the response after Hyde and Rylands.
Listen, I know that if the shoe's on the other foot and I was the manager of Rylands and we were playing Lancaster on a Tuesday night, knowing the pitch is like an ice rink, I'd be saying it's a banana skin for Ratcliffe tonight. And especially by going 1-0 behind. We did it at Morpeth on a Tuesday night back in November. We were 1-0 behind and 2-1 behind. But we came back and won 2-1. We came back against Morpeth and won 3-2. That shows you everything you need to know about the group. The resilience, the way that they can keep going in adversity despite being on the coach for how many hours they've been on. It's a fantastic group. No matter what happens at the end of the season, Ben, we'll look back to these type of games, especially the Lancaster games and the Workington games, these banana skins, where most people have probably looked and gone, might be a bridge too far, that one. We'll look back to that and go, yeah, you know, that was a really important win, really important 3 points. I don't know if you've seen a clip from Tuesday night where we're 2-1 up, we're under pressure off Lancaster and Mick Smith with the last kick of the game, volleys one off the line. And they've just been moments. Yeah. And they're fantastic then. As long as you back it up and you keep backing it up and at the end of the season, you've got a little bit of a reward from it. You can look back and go, yeah, that was the moment that the tide turned. But from our point of view, it's just about focusing on what happens next, not getting too excited on what we've done last game. And for us, we've got Barnet next and we're trying to not, you know, we're trying to keep our feet on the ground. We're not trying to get overexcited about this competition, but you can't help but do it when you get to the last 32 of a national competition.
Yeah, last 32. I mean, it feels like we're on it. Me and you, when we've done these interviews, we keep counting down, don't we? 64 last time, now it's 32. Yeah. Before you know it, it'll be two.
But I hope so.
I mean, how do you go about Barnet? Because they're a team who obviously, they'll have done their own work and that kind of thing, but they know they're going to be in for a game on Saturday.
Listen, we just want to give the best version of ourselves, mate. We trained fantastic last night. Every single player trained. There's no... What tends to happen when you play the Saturday, Tuesday away from home is that you get to train on the Thursday, there's one or two wobbling about, and they want wrapping in cotton wool, they want a massage. Every single one of them trained like beasts last night because they all want to be part of it. And listen, at the beginning of the season, when you play in the FA Trophy, it isn't at the top of our priority list because as you get down the line, like we're finding tomorrow, you lose a league game and you have to play that on Tuesday night. And how it's transpired for us is that every time we've won a game, the next league game is an away game that we've now got to play on Tuesday night. However, when you're taking experiences that we've had this season, when you're taking the performances, the type of games we've had, it's been magnificent. So going into the Barnet game, seeing the lads absolutely championing at the bit, it's an opportunity for us to showcase ourselves. You know, we've had a fantastic season in the league so far. We beat at least every single team at least once. And from our point of view, we were playing against a full-time side with a rich heritage from the Football League who were going unbelievably well. We've watched so much of them. Yes, it's a banana skin for them, but if you've watched them, you can see they're a top, top team. Mm. So if we're not in it tomorrow, we'll get absolutely slapped. But we know we'll get a decent crowd on. We know there's going to be big numbers down. So we want to give the best version of ourselves. And from the lads' point of view, there's no anxiety. There's no asking about how Rylands or Mac or Worktop or Marina getting on. We can just enjoy the game, give the best account of ourselves, and hopefully we can maybe also pinch a win.
And I would ask you about the upcoming games, but I know what you're going to say because you are concentrating on this massive game on Saturday. But just for the listeners' benefit, Baysford away on Tuesday, Mac next Saturday, Bamber Bridge away, Guiseley at home, Works uptown. The games come thick and fast, don't they? So, I mean, it is a lot to juggle, but like you say, it's definitely a club and a team with a spring in its step as we head into this part of the season now.
It's exactly what you want. We can't moan about having big games. It's a football club that tells you that you're doing well. And as I said, you know, you ask any football player, they want to play Saturday, Tuesday. When you're winning games of football, you want the next game to come fast. When you lose a game of football, you want the next game to come fast because you want to put it to bed. From my point of view, we've got momentum behind us. Win, lose, or draw. Oh, I said draw. We've not drawn all season. It's a stupid comment. But win or lose, feast or famine, we're always championing a bit for the next game. It doesn't matter if it's Peaceford Saturday, Matt next week. We concentrate on tomorrow's game. We get that out of the way. Win or lose, then we start thinking about what Tuesday night looks like. Win or lose, maybe draw at Bateford, we start thinking about Matt. But I think we've done it really well. I think we've blocked off each game individually fantastically well this season. But tomorrow, cup final day for Rackley Football Club, and we'll just give our best shot.
And last question, Jono, just about the crowd. They're going to be very much needed tomorrow at Stainton Park. It's going to be a lively atmosphere. How important are they going to be, and what's your message to them ahead of tomorrow's game against Barnet?
Make sure they eat raw steak tomorrow morning. I want them getting on top of Barnet, and I want them to unfurl signs of welcome to hell as the Barnet players walk into the Newham Stadium. Listen, it's the same for them as it is for us. You know, we just want to enjoy the game. We want to see where we're at. If we get beat 4-5-0, then we probably should get beat 4-5-0 off a team of Barnett's calibre. If they don't turn up and they start looking at the pitch, the slope and things like that, they might get a bit of a rude awakening. But from our point of view, we've got to be on the top of our game. From our supporters' point of view, they've got to be on the top of our game because they've been absolutely unbelievable this year. Consistently at home on a Saturday afternoon, getting four figures, 1,500 through the gate last Saturday. If we get something like that tomorrow, it's 12 man. I know it's cliche. I don't tend to do that type of stuff. But if we get 1,500 supports through the gate tomorrow that have eaten raw steak in the morning, I'm sure we'll give it a good go.
Good stuff. Well, Jono, joint manager of Radcliffe, a big happy new year to you, Bernard, and everyone at the club. All the best tomorrow in the FA Trophy, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Top man.
And a big thank you to Jono for joining us on this week's show. So, Radcliffe taking on Barnet on Saturday in the fourth round of the FA Trophy. What about Macclesfield? They're taking on Dorking Wanderers. What are the chances this weekend, Berkey, for Mac?
I'd say they're all right, actually. They're up against Dorking Wanderers, another National League side, but unlike Barnet, they're a team who've been struggling all season, really. They're in 19th at the moment. One win from the last six, and they're going to be limping the way to the line, basically. As you know, you're always going to get that in any division, aren't you? But I think this is a real chance for Macclesfield. If they turn it on, as we know they can do, then they can do it. I'm convinced they can do it. In fact, I think they will do it.
Yeah, they will do it.
I think they will. I
know they're a Northern Premier League football club at this moment in time, but everything is set up for National League, no question about it. The players that they've got, the management they've got in there now, the pitch, the crowd. Dorking go there, nothing to lose, I suppose, because they're not playing particularly well at this moment in time, 19th, as you said, in the league.
It feels like a free hit for both sides. Yeah, it should be a really good game to watch.
And Mac, I think, have the quality, because the players they've got in, the National League players, the League yeah. 2 players, good luck to Mac, and I think they'll come away from this. The one thing we don't want to get in the next round is Mac versus Radcliffe. For me, because you want to keep those two separately, and I think they'll both win, go through, and hopefully they can move on, and you know, the MPL can continue. Well,
how important? I mean, you mentioned Radcliffe's result against Lancaster, that Tuesday night result against Matlock for Macclesfield. That feels like a good result at this point.
Yeah, they needed to bounce back from it. I mean, Lancaster took all 6 points this season, but they're the kind of team you'd expect to. They're a counter-attacking side. They're happy to sit in, soak up that pressure, and then they've got the pace down the flanks to really exploit the gaps in behind that Macclesfield naturally leave when they're pushing forward. And we've seen it the other day, Sam Bailey, Charlie Bailey, Charlie's goal, brilliant volley, absolutely fantastic. They're a good side, Lancaster. Macclesfield, on paper, oh no, I'm not doing the on paper thing again, we're going to get into play by mail. You know, they should be a better side, but I think the ultimate problem for Macclesfield at the moment is that Alex Bruce doesn't know his best side.
No, you know, no. Well,
he's got an embarrassment of riches there.
I think still come, they'll beat Dorking. I think they will win.
I actually, that's the thing. I do think they'll beat Dorking. Yeah. I think they've got every chance. The pressure's going to be off them.
Yeah, yeah. The scrutiny's always going to be there, and there's that brings a pressure. And there's no surprise that they've had a blip. And they've come back, and the same as Radcliffe. And I think, as I say, both teams will win at the weekend. And I'm looking forward to seeing them in the next round of the draw on the Monday.
Macclesfield taking on Dorking Wanderers this weekend. Big good luck to both Macclesfield and Radcliffe. And a big, big good luck to Nantwich Town. They're travelling to Solihull Moors. We'll be hearing from Paul Carden in a second or two. Nantwich Town have been on a great run. You're not Simo. What can you tell us?
I can tell you all. I can tell you all sorts, mate. We know that the league form has suffered because of what their exploits in the FA Trophy, but we know also that Nantwich have been a great cup team over the past few years. They need to, first of all, make sure that they don't get relegated, which seems absolutely bonkers to say, considering how well they are doing in the trophy, how well they did in the cup as well. But
this is classic, though, isn't it? Because it's a team that's beaten York, it's beaten Chester in this FA Trophy run. It's been an amazing run, but yet they are where they are in the league table.
Exactly, stumbling against mid-table teams in the NPL Division 1 West. It makes no sense. They can raise the game. No, that's one thing it does show. And, you know, in cards we trust and all that, because he knows his way around the division. He knows his way around this league. And I'm sure that they can put a run together. You look at Witton Albion, for instance. They've won the last four games and they're on the cusp of the playoffs.
City, Liverpool, they were exactly. Pretty much, they were below where Nantwich had the league table. And as soon as their cup runs came to an end, they're up to 10th now.
Yeah, galvanised.
Well, you do one of two things, don't you? You either implode or you get back on track.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very, very tough ask to go to Soy Hill Moors and to win there, in fairness.
They shouldn't have beat Chester either.
York.
You know, or York, yeah.
Yeah, but it, I suppose in a way it depends what those teams... I can't see... I mean, if they do, fantastic.
But that position, Paul Carden's going to love being in that position of being the underdogs. I mean,
yeah, he loves it.
It's going to be a tough one for them. I mean, we wish them all the very best, and I hope. I mean, they've got a great tradition, and the town fully behind them, and you know, let's hope they can do it.
Only thing to keep in mind with Nantwich game there is how serious are Solihull going to take the charge for the National League title, because they're right in that race at the moment as well with Chesterfield.
Every player wants to go to Wembley. Every manager wants to walk out there. I mean, I know Dave Anderson. You know, he was at Chertsey Town.
Yeah.
Dave said it was the proudest moment in his football career. The work he did at Harrow, AFC Wimbledon before that, and he was on AFC Wimbledon TV the other day talking about where they're playing in the. They got beat in the FA Cup. But said it is just the most amazing feeling. Every manager, every player. If you are within a whisker, you dream of it. You're thinking, you know. I mean, I've been very lucky to commentate at Wembley, just as a pundit, and it's amazing. As a player to walk out on that turf, as a manager, it's got to be something that, and if it's within the grasp, they'll all go for it. Nobody goes, oh well, you know, what, concentrate the league, and then.
And just to
let's get to Wembley.
And just to say, no fair big is Wrexham. It was the game you commentated.
It was, yeah.
It took about the 70th minute for Swampy to realise that there was monitors doing.
No, that's not true, Ben.
I've got the commentary. I can tell you this exactly what happened. In the commentary, you actually go, "Oh, look at this, Dave. There's a replay."
The reality was actually it was in the first 4 minutes and it was a free kick. But it's a dream. I mean. I've been, it's just an amazing feeling to be at Wembley.
One of my favourite commentating memories was at Wembley in 2017 when Macclesfield were playing York in the FA Trophy final, and I did this fantastic, genuinely for me, fantastic bit of commentary. Screamed my head off when Mitch Hancock took the roof off from about 25 yards and left a little bit, 9 out of 10, left myself a little bit to go. And then I realised after the game it weren't even Mitch Hancock who scored. It's like, Hancock!
You know what, Birka? You tee up the interview.
Oh, all right.
For your commentary, faux pas from years ago.
All right, thanks, Ben. Thanks for this opportunity.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. You tee up, yeah. Paul right. Carden, I've not spoken to him yet.
All right.
It'll probably be Thursday evening when I do.
So, Nantwich down to the last 32 of the FA Trophy, just four games away from Wembley, Ben, and we're going to speak now to Nantwich's manager, the one and only Mr. Paul Carden.
Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us, and well, here we are, the fourth round of the FA Trophy. I think we've spoke pretty much every round up to this point. What's the mood like at the club as we head towards this game against Solihull Moors?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement, isn't there, getting this far in the competition. Obviously, last round, beating a National League side in York, and drawing another fancied side in the National League, albeit away. You know, everybody's looking forward to it. It's one of those games where people say, oh, it's a free hit, you know, nothing's expected of you and that type of thing. But stranger things happen and we expect from ourselves. So whilst we do go there and the pressure isn't on us, we have our standards that we want to we want to maintain, and hopefully we can.
And just going back to those games, you know, against York and Chester, you have got pedigree in giant killing this season. Without giving too much of the game plan away, I mean, how much prep have you put in for this game against Solihull Moors?
Well, to be honest, we've had a little bit of illness, so we weren't able to do a lot on Tuesday, but we touched on a few things that I want to try and apply in the game against Solihull. I know how they play. I know they've got a fair bit of experience in the side, and there's a side that's been strong in the National League for the last few years, just missing out on getting promotion to the Football League. But they've had a change in manager, and funnily enough, we beat the old manager against York in Neil Ardley, but they've got a new manager this summer who's continued to have Solihull up in and around the playoffs most of the season. So, you know, like you say, they've got good experience. They play three at the back. They've got a good front line with sort of big man, small man combination in Beck and Kelly. And in terms of preparation and what we know about them, we know as much as there is to know. And you know, unless they make a lot of changes, we're going there confident in how we'll apply ourselves and what information we've got and what information the lads will have.
And it's certainly a big game on Saturday. And I mean, just to mention the travelling support, because obviously when it comes to the home faithful, there were certainly numbers against York and against Chester. But the away allocation, I believe, is sold out for this weekend as well. So, I mean, I know Nantwich have gone far in this competition in the past, but it certainly feels like trophy fever's caught on, that's for sure.
Yeah, it has been, and I think that's been a common theme throughout. You know, because we have played so many sides from higher divisions, and we have done well. And obviously, the penalty shootouts, they always excite. And when you come off on the right side of them, that, you know, the fans love it. There's a real buzz about it. You know, I know the allocation's being sold, like you said. There's a few couple of coach loads going. So, as always, we'll be doing our best to give everything we can, because supporters have been brilliant. I know everybody says that, but they really have. We've had some tough games where we've conceded late on and lost games, and, you know, they're still applauding the lads off at the end, and the support of us as a club, as me as a manager and the staff, and certainly always backing the players. And I've said it before, you know, obviously last season was a bitter blow for everyone at the club. I came in late, as you know, but it's still a big disappointment. And, you know, I felt a lot for the supporters, as you do, because it's ultimately their club, and it's always about sticking together. It's never easy trying to bounce back in one go. But, you know, we've obviously got this cup game coming up, and we've got the second half of the season to go and attack. And if we stick together like we have done, you know, there'll be good times at this club. I'm certain of that.
And when you mentioned the penalty shootouts, and that made me go back to the results page for Nantwich Town. You go back to the 9th of September and that first qualifying round match against Liversidge. You played Dunstan, the penalty shootout against Bradford Park Avenue and Stratford Town. We've already mentioned the Chester game and the York game. I mean, this in itself, just the trophy run alone, it feels like a season, and it's kind of understandable, isn't it? But at some point, it will come back to the league, won't it? And I suppose there's no better springboard than this FA Trophy run you've had. And here's hoping it doesn't come to an end this Saturday and you can go even further. But it does feel like a long campaign already.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think including the Senior Cup games, we must have played now 16 games in cup competitions, including the FA Cup and that type of thing. And looking at the league, we've played 21 games in the league. So in terms of cup games, we've probably played a lot more than most. And like you said, we have suffered, and you do suffer. I had an experience at Warrington with something similar in my first full season when we got to the playoffs, and we limped out of them because we played a hell of a lot of games that season in the cups with replays and doing so well in the trophy, you know. And it's all about learning. But at the same time, I've said it before, you want to win every game you play, and so if you're winning games, that's obviously what it's about. It's confidence, and it's also a sign of a good team. But we've got to try in the second half of the season in the league. We've got to try and replicate the way we've been in the cups. We've had too many false dawns in the league. Too many times we've come away from games with teams saying, you're a very good team, you're one of the best teams we've played, but we've lost. You know, and that's no good. I'd sooner the managers be saying, yous were lucky today, we should have won. But, you know, it hasn't been the case and it's been too many. So, like you say, we've got a bit of work to do with thickening the squad out and getting some more players in. But right now the focus is obviously on Solihull and going into that and trying to cause an upset like we have done in the previous rounds.
Yeah, it is hoping for, you know, a brilliant performance on Saturday, but as much luck as possible as well, Paul. And just a closing question, just finally about this game. I mean, it's a question I've always asked you in these interviews, and each time it is about, you know, enjoying it and enjoying the challenge. But seriously, how much are you looking forward to this game on Saturday, and what's possible against Solihull Moors in the fourth round of the FA Trophy for Nantwich?
Looking forward to it. Obviously, you know, you're testing yourself against management, and the players are testing themselves against players from higher divisions, and you know, that's what it's all about. You know, pitting your wits against this type of opponent. Playing against the teams from higher up, it's a little bit easier to get footage and information on them, which is what we'll be putting to the players in terms of a presentation. It's not always easy to do that against teams from your own division because of lack of coverage and that type of thing. So it's nice to be able to do that and give the lads that information and that understanding of what we're coming up against. But obviously going to attack the game as much as we can, respect Solihull, but not be overawed. That's the plan.
Well, Paul Carden, manager of Nantwich Town, on behalf of everyone on the NPL show, a big, big good luck this weekend in the FA Trophy. A big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Big Happy New Year to everyone at the club. And we'll catch up again, fingers crossed, when we discuss the next round of the FA Trophy. Thanks for joining us and good luck.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Cheers, mate.
Paul Carden, the manager of Nantwich Town, joining us here on this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And a big good luck to Nantwich Town away at Solihull Moors this Saturday. And a big good luck to Radcliffe and Macclesfield. Predictions? Are we getting three through to the next round?
Two.
One.
Two.
No, say three. Yeah. That works, yeah. Then.
Three.
Good.
And very quickly, commiserations to Walsall for last night as well.
Blimey. Getting that game played has been a right palaver, hasn't it?
Six attempts.
Against Colville Town to play the third round in the FA Trophy. They've been trying to play that game since...
Since last month, because last month, I did my big rant about them beating Towns, Guiseley Town.
commiserations to Warsaw Wood, but a very good run in the FA Trophy. Back to the league. Second place, Warrington Marlins. Had a little defeat against Macclesfield.
A little defeat.
A little defeat.
It was an actual defeat.
It was. 3-2. Yeah. Yeah. Michael Cleggs had to play two former clubs and got draws out of it against Ashton and Atherton. It's just been ticking over, hasn't it, apart from the Mac loss, really?
Yeah, I mean, they are officially the toughest team to beat in the entire division. They've only lost three times all season, including an unblemished record away from home. So the way they set up, it's so that none shall pass kind of thing. And there's no shame in that defeat against Macclesfield. You know, when they're on form, they're on form, you know. But they've got Adama Sadebe up top. He's firing him in again. 9 goals in the last 9 games. So they've got the solidity at the back, Ben, but they've also got a little bit of firepower up top. They don't score many, they don't concede many, but they're doing enough, usually, to get over the line.
Let's move on to Worksop Town. Mentioning the defensive record of Warrington Rylands, conceded just 24 goals. Worksop have done this remarkable thing this season. They've only conceded 26 goals, but have managed to score 52.
If you score twice as many as you concede, you're going to be doing all right. In fact, funnily enough, Radcliffe have done exactly the same. They've scored 64, conceded 32.
They would have scored 64, but obviously they've got 5 knocked off now.
How big's that Saturday win against Whitby? Because they did get beat by Gainsborough.
Yeah, it's enormous. From they've been missing Liam Hughes. That's one thing. Yeah. He's 16 goals. He's been still coming back from injury. He'll presumably be getting a full 90 or at least starting games again soon. He's been on the bench the last few games. But they struggle away from home. You know, you look at the home record, they've won 10 out of the 13 games, only lost one of them. Yet away from home, they've only won 3. And
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Exactly. Well, weirdly enough, the last away win was at Macclesfield. You know, not to be sniffed at, but I don't know what it is. I don't know why they clam up away from home so much. They're a better team.
And we've all been part of that. We're going, why do we do so well away and we can't win at home, or vice versa? Mm. And there's just something that happens. And as much as you want to try and change it, it doesn't always happen. I think it's interesting because we obviously talking over the December period, and Christmas results for me are always a bit bizarre, and it's not really a reflection of the rest of the season.
Well,
I mean, it's just that.
I mean, we'll come to the Christmas results in a second, because there was a couple of teams who had outstanding.
Well, that's
Christmas
what I mean. Days. I mean, it's,
Bamber Bridge was one of them.
It's a bizarre time of the year. Christmas football at semi-pro level is all dependent upon players respecting the fact that they're having to play, not going out having a drink, not going having Christmas mm-hmm. dinner, and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many factors that input in how results change. And as you say, there were some absolutely incredible results, but that really isn't a reflection of the league, I don't think, and a reflection of clubs for the rest of the season. It's just one of those bizarre a week and a half of football. Whoa, what's going on?
A microcosm.
A microcosm. I like that. I'll
good
use
word.
That.
Thank you. Like Christmas is going to be always one of your big three fixtures throughout the season. Other ones being the Bank Holiday Monday and the Easter fixtures. So you kind of expect your teams to be more up for it in that situation. Again, if you're playing Boxing Day, you're going to have your 1,000, 2,000 fans, which happened across the league this year as well. Mosley, 1,700 on Boxing Day against Daily Bridge.
Yeah, fantastic.
Second biggest attendance in the league. That bit of expectation goes on teams a little bit at Christmas. Again, any team coming out with 6 points like Bamber Bridge did, it's always a good step. I think going into the second part of the season, particularly if you come on the end of a poor run, mm-hmm. like one or two sides. I think Basford's a good example of that at the moment when we get to Townsend as well.
Yeah. We'll come back to Basford in a moment or two. But obviously with the points deductions, just to remind you, Radcliffe are going to be on 51 points because of the mass results being expunged. Warrington Rylands will be 6 points back on 45. Then there's a 4 point gap between Warrington Rylands and Worksop Town. Macclesfield are also on the same number of points as Worksop. Then there's Hyde United in fifth on 39. It was really close, Birker, between a load of teams. I think down to, memory serves, it was Ashton United who were ninth at the time, heading into this past week's fixtures.
Yeah.
It was very, very close between Ashton United in ninth and Worksop Town in third. After the points deductions, it does stretch out a little bit, only a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still all to play for, isn't it, for a lot of teams in that top half?
Yeah,
starting
off
with Hyde.
Yeah, Hyde, probably the form team in the division, actually. 8 unbeaten in the league. There's been a few frustrating draws in there.
I was going to say, you've had majority of draws.
Yeah, a lot of 2-2s in there, yeah.
But you know, Hyde, if I can just make a comment on Hyde, it feels to me that Hyde are flying, out of all the teams in that top half of the table, they're the ones who are really flying under the radar.
Do you think?
Yeah. I even think they're actually walking under the radar. They're that low. They're just there like that. Just inching their way ever so. And no one's talking about Hyde United in that guise.
Well,
I say guys. I'll be talking about guys in a second.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, people at Hyde are talking about Hyde because it's not just we're 8 games unbeaten in the league. The games have been really entertaining as well. All right, the 2-2 draw against Ashton the other weekend, conceded a last-minute equaliser. But we should have been out of sight. You know, we wasted a fair few chances. But it's been the OAPs of the side who've been knitting those things together.
Just to say, if you're one of those OAPs, those are the views of Birkin. I'm 40 now.
I'm sure they won't mind. It's a front line. Jack Redshaw, Harry Bunn, Luis Alessandra. They're 100 years old between them. You know, it's ridiculous. But they've been playing so well. You know, they've got used to each other's presence again. They've played with each other at higher levels, like, but things are just knitted. It's taken a couple of months for the side to get settled, but they've been absolutely outstanding the last couple of months. Sam Waller, unfortunately, he's gone back to Burnley, the goalkeeper. 5 penalties he's faced this season. Saved them all. I don't know how he's managed to do it, but Jordan Easton...
He's a very good goalkeeper, that's how he's done it.
Well, yeah, it's how he's done it, yeah. Jordan Easton's come in from Blackburn, who he was on loan a couple of times at Lancaster. Mark Fell really, really rates him. And on the evidence of the game on Saturday against Marine, 4-1 win to Hyde did flatter us a little bit, to be honest, because we scored a last minute breakaway goal.
But that's a massive result.
It is a massive result.
I mean, we're 3-0 up.
I think that's the biggest result for me.
Cruising in the first half.
Possibly the biggest result of the season for me. going to a club that are doing very, very well, and really showing the quality of Hyde.
That's a 6-pointer in January, right there, isn't it?
Yeah, really? I'd say so, yeah.
Now, I did mention Geisley, because Geisley, at time of recording, they're currently 9th in the league table, but because of the amendments, they actually move up to 6th. It's not quite the third place we were expecting on Saturday, but they're tied now with Hyde United on 39 points.
Obviously, a new manager's come in, who's managed a few lower level clubs and a bit of good football in the past, yeah. and he's shown what his mettle is here, and he's doing well with a club that, you know, want to be back where they were. That at the moment they're going about it the right way.
Andy Welsh, when he came into the club, he had to tighten a few nuts and bolts. They were having like 4-3s, 3-2s every week, and he seems to have done that. It's now more like 1-0s, 1-1s, 2-1s, that kind of thing. But they've only taken 6 points out of the last 4 games.
This is the Christmas week we're talking about. This is the all right. reverse, isn't
whoa,
it?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Christmas week or not, this was a golden opportunity for guys that string a set of results together.
I agree.
They've not been able to do it. They've won 2, lost 2 against the bottom 6. We should say as well, before moving on, Tom Denton, 700 games.
Yes.
He's now played in in football. Absolutely. I can't believe he's been around that long, but then again, he has. I remember him playing for Mosley and Wakefield and whatnot back in the day. You know, Worksop, banging him in, weren't
he? Oh, yeah, Worksop. He was prolific at Worksop. Yeah. He was just scoring for fun, wasn't he?
So, Geisley, in the new league table, will be 6th, same number of points as Hyde United. Whitby, 1 point back in 7th. What do we make of Whitby?
Well, it's not just 1 point back, though. Put the games in hand, because, again, one in the same situation. They'd have to be a top 5 on points per game at the moment.
So, what would you rather have? Points on the board or
games in hand? No one's ever asked this question before. What would you rather have?
Thing is, though, all the games in hand for Whitby are at home. And that's a big advantage for him at the same time. So, again, in that situation...
Wasn't at the start of the season, though, if you remember, their home form was not great, but they've just got everything going now, hasn't
they've
really?
They've got the best away record in the league, Ben. They're basically the North Yorkshire version of Rylands. I think they've been really stringing it together this season. We've seen them quite a few times down the years threaten upper echelons of the division and fall short, but this season it just feels like things are clicking.
So Whitby Town in 7th, 1 point outside the playoffs, as we said earlier. There's not much separating these teams, is there? Let's throw in Ashton United, 2 points outside the playoffs. I think we can say safely that they've reacted decently to the FC United result on Boxing Day with 2 draws against Rylands and Hyde.
It was actually Charles who scored the equaliser against us. Great finish on the turn, 180 degrees, spin around and kiss the post on the way in. They've gone off the boil a little bit. They've all been close games, mind you, but they did lose to Mask. Only a couple of games this month and yeah.
No game for them this weekend as well. No. What about Marine? Marine are down to 9th after the updated table. 3 points outside the playoffs.
I'm really annoyed with Marine. They've only won 4 games out of 12 since the FA Cup run come to an end. The inconsistency that's creeping in, it's prompted Neil Young to go into the transfer market. And I mean, there's plenty of time to turn it around. They're still within touching distance. And they've got the facilities there, they've got the gumption in the club to be able to get back into contention.
Well, this weekend they're taking on Stafford Rangers.
Yeah, at the same time, perfect.
At the same time, Rylands are taking on Whitby, Lancaster taking on Hyde, and Ashton aren't playing. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. Speaking of Lancaster, that's interesting, isn't it, Berkey? Because they're tied with Marine.
Fortress Giant Axe. Until Tuesday night, but again, it's just, again every winter.
But it's still a fortress.
It still is indeed. But again, Lancaster just week in week out and getting the home form. Just like this year, the away form's steadily starting to get the results away as well this year. Is this a Lancaster we remember from about 4 or 5 years ago? Obviously, Mark Fell's come away. Andrew Teague's left the club this week.
Gone to Clitheroe, yes.
He went to Clitheroe. The core team's still playing the Lancaster way. Whoever's taking 4 wins at the moment, too, absolutely doing full on their pitch, hitting
Sam Baylor. Yeah. I know Andy Teague's left, but Simon Grant's still there.
Yeah.
Like you say, there's been no announcement.
He's not scored a hat trick for a while.
No, that's true. Mm. But it can't be understated what a great job the pair of them have done to get Lancaster to within 3 points of the playoffs.
They've continued Felly's great work. They have not a lot's changed. Obviously, there is going to be... Well, looks like there's going to be a new regime coming in. They're in touch, but let's see what happens with the new management, see how they change things about.
So Lancaster in 10th in the updated table. There's a 4-point gap between them and Bamber Bridge and Workington. Then there's Morpeth, Ilkeston, Gainsborough, Matlock, FC United. That's the mid-table bunch, isn't it, right there?
Also, in fairness, they're also the ones who have been heavily the most impacted, because, again, Morpeth, Ilkeston and Matlock have lost 6 points from the... Because, obviously, we've been having quite heavy wins for most of them as well.
But just to mention for Bamber Bridge and their Christmas run, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ace. They had Ewan Bange firing on all cylinders. 5 goals from 10 games.
What can we say, really? That is the mid-table pack. Is inconsistencies all over the place.
Farcically inconsistent, especially with Ilson.
You look at Workington as well. Obviously, they've only just started picking up a few decent results in the last couple of weeks.
Good goal draw against Mac.
But that's when we got to get Mac. Yeah. Mac was a great result there at the same time. But going towards Christmas, games were at a real risk to dropping into that little bit of a relegation fight. But I think FC United were starting to get them to look over the shoulder a little bit.
I agree. But I mentioned it on the show. I'm right with you there. Yeah.
There's a bit of a gap to the relegation places. In between FC United 17th and Stafford Rangers in 19th, there's 11 points now. There's Basford United in the middle. How big was that Christmas for Basford?
Huge. Enormous. Look, I've got my arms fully extended. And that's how big it was, but bigger. They needed it, they really did. And they suffered as well through beating Mask and losing the 3 points against them. But they've given themselves the best opportunity that they can. You know, they've become a team that's tough to beat. And they weren't earlier in the season. They really weren't at all. And I don't think the stars are aligning from just yet. But I do think they'll pull clear at some point. I don't necessarily think they'll start to drag Gainsborough in or FC or anything like that. But I think they'll do enough to move away from Stafford. And
the main thing is, though, they're getting points. But you look at the results over Christmas, a massive result there at Stafford Rangers. Mean win on the New Year's Day fixtures. Basford have now come from... They were bottom of the table come October and starting to get caught adrift a little bit. So it's a great turnaround the last couple of weeks.
But they've really had to.
And that result against Stafford, because Stafford... been talking about that the festive week. I mean, how good has Stafford been with getting 6 points in
their
matches?
Atherton
had a decent Christmas, didn't they, as well, to be fair? They got 4 points.
Atherton had the best than anyone expected. Stafford, with the new management and that bounce, but I still think it's going to be tough for them all season. I mean, are teams there or thereabouts, but I think they're going to find it hard.
What about Bradford Park Avenue?
They're not doomed, none of them down the bottom end.
Because that's the other thing,
but
I'm not going to name names, but there's been teams in the past in seasons where you can quite clearly see they're cut adrift, they're going to struggle. Yeah. No one's really too...
No,
that's it.
BPA's game is this weekend. It's huge. It's a huge game for both clubs, mm-hmm. No question about it.
And they've got a little bit of magic there now as well, with Eddie Maiko joining up from Ryland.
Hey, this
is a big weekend for not just Bradford Park Avenue, but also for Atherton Coles. They're taking on Matlock Town. There's nothing else to add, really, is there? Big good luck to the FA Trophy teams, yeah. Radcliffe, yeah, yeah. Macclesfield and Nantwich Town this weekend in the fourth round.
We have a bit of interesting news, actually.
Oh.
And it's involving the two international tournaments taking place at the moment. African Cup of Nations, where Ben Starkey of Ilkeston will be representing Tanzania.
Of course, yeah.
And Sean C of Hong Kong is going over to the Asian Cup. 3 tournaments in a row, because we had a couple of play over in the... CONCACAF Nations Cup, Gold Cup, sorry, I should say. So it's really sad to get some international reputation.
It's really played havoc, though, with my fantasy football league team, to prepare these mid-season tournaments, that's for sure. But anyway, well, that's it for this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL Show. A big thanks again to Damien here at the Heat and Hops, at Heat and Hops on Twitter. Big thank you as well to Swamper, joining us from FC Radio.
You're very welcome, thank you very much.
Are you back at any point before the end of the season?
I'll be here on as many occasions as I can, and that'll do.
Slightly non-committal. Big thank you to Berkey for joining us on this month's show.
Thanks for having us, Ben.
And a big thank you to James Hayes. Just before you go, social media channels for this weekend.
On X, follow me on Twitter, Northern Premier League, and then Facebook, Threads, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, Official Northern Prem.
Great stuff. Well, thank you, James, for joining us, and a big thank you for listening. A big thank you as well to all the managers who've joined us on this month's show too. But we're going to go now. You'll be from us again very soon. You take care. Bye-bye.